Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Brookfield India Real Estate Trust Q4 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. On the call, we have Mr. Alok Aggarwal, CEO and MD, Mr. Amit Jain, CFO of Brookprop Management Services Private Limited, Mr. Rachit Kothari, and Mr. Shailendra Sabhnani from Brookfield. I now hand the conference over to the management. Thank you, and over to you.
Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of the Brookfield India Real Estate Trust, I extend a warm welcome to all participants joining us today for this conference call. Let me start with some updates on India and its office markets. India's economic outlook remains strong, and India is projected to remain one of the fastest-growing large economies, reaffirming its dominance in the global economic landscape. Stabilizing inflationary trends have enabled the Reserve Bank of India to cut the repo rates twice in the past 3 months, and this would help boost liquidity for the businesses. The Indian office market witnessed record-breaking leasing performance in 2024 and is poised for sustained momentum in 2025 as well, cementing India's reputation as the office to the world. As per IPC reports, Q1 of calendar year 2025 witnessed gross leasing activity of over 20 million square feet. Space taken by GCCs played a key role in strengthening office adoption, with GCCs contributing a share of over 30% in the overall office space leasing in Q1 of calendar year 2025. India's abundant skilled talent pool continues to attract MNCs seeking to establish or expand their GCCs. This, coupled with Indian companies expanding their office footprint, backed by sustained revenue growth projections, augurs well for commercial office leasing in 2025 as well. Turning to Brookfield India REIT, I am delighted to report an outstanding year of growth for us in financial year 2025. We delivered on our occupancy guidance and exceeded our DPU guidance for financial year 2025. We achieved 3 million square feet of gross leasing with a re-leasing spread of 18%. Out of this 3 million square feet of gross leasing, over 50% leasing happened in our SEG properties. Some of the key large wins for us this quarter are Teleperformance, 111,000 square feet in N2, Noida. Barclays renewal of 172,000 square feet in N1, again Noida. And Fidelity, 65,000 square feet in G1, which is Gurgaon, among others. We had given a guidance of 1.5 to 2 million square feet of new leasing at the start of financial year 2025, and we closed the year with approximately 2.2 million square feet of new leasing with a spread of 19%. Our occupancy increased by over 6% from 82% in March 24 to 88% in March 25. The occupancy of our SEG properties increased from 79% to 84% in the same period, and the occupancy of our non-SEG properties increased from 91% to 96% in the same period. During financial year 2025, we raised over 4,700 crore from RT investors through QIP and preferential allotment. The preferential allotment in Q1 2025 of rupees 1,200 crore was to fund acquisition of 50% stake in North Commercial Portfolio, a portfolio of 3.3 million square feet of prominent grade A properties in Delhi NCR, designed and built to high specs. This highly accretive acquisition also saw the Bharti Group becoming a cornerstone unit holder in Brookfield REIT. The occupancy of North Commercial Portfolio increased from 91% at acquisition to 95%, and in-place rent increased by over 8% to 150 rupees as on March 2025. In Q3 financial year 2025, we successfully raised rupees 3,500 crores through QIP. The QIP issue saw strong demand from our marquee long-term investors, likes of IFC, LIC, SBI Mutual Fund, and IPO Mutual Fund, among others. As a result of the QIP, our LTV has come down from 34% to 25%, which gives us enough headroom to pursue strategic inorganic growth opportunities for the REIT. We are in conversation with our sponsor group to evaluate acquisition opportunities in Bangalore. Currently, the sponsor group is working on carve-out of these assets through an NCLT-approved merger, demerger process, and we will have further updates on this by next quarter. On the ESG front, we continue to make significant strides towards our net zero carbon goals by 2040 or sooner. In recognition of our efforts, we received many accolades and awards, and some of the key notable ones are received 5-star rating from GRESB for the third consecutive year, recognized as global sector leader for sustainable mixed-use development for Baytown, Calcutta, ranked number one in Asia for management score with 100% governance score, achieved 40% renewable energy transition for 15.4 million square feet across Gurugram and Noida assets via Brookfield's Bikaner solar project, completed phase one of green energy transition at Noida campuses, producing 11,000 metric ton of carbon dioxide emissions annually, received the EDGE certification in downtown Powai SEG for more than 20% savings in energy, water, and embodied energy from benchmark, received well equity rating for North commercial portfolio, demonstrating strong sustainability focus. Looking ahead, we expect leasing momentum to remain strong in the financial year 2026 as well, with the dual offerings of SEG and non-SEG spaces across our campuses. We are well positioned to attack a diverse tenant base and accelerate our journey towards high occupancy. Let me now invite Amit to take you through the financial updates.
Thank you, Alok, and good afternoon, everyone. Our operating lease rentals have grown to Rs. 460 crore in Q4 FY25, 4% higher Q on Q compared to Rs. 443 crore in the previous quarter, and 14% higher YOY compared to Rs. 405 crore in the same period last year. The NOI for Q4 FY25 is at Rs. 488.5 crore, 3% higher Q on Q, compared to Rs. 475.5 crore in the previous quarter, and 16% higher YOY compared to Rs. 422 crore in the same period last year. The YOY growth is primarily on account of new leasing and contractual escalations in rentals offset by expiries and acquisition of Myo, which we concluded in Q4 FY25. With sequential occupancy improvement in the last four quarters, we have seen an increase in the same-store NOI by 15% from Q4 FY24 to Q4 FY25. This was also supported by the contractual escalations as well as the spreads achieved on re-leasing and renewals. On the distributions front, we are distributing Rs. 5.25 per unit this quarter, translating to a total distribution of Rs. 319 crore. With this, we have distributed a total of Rs. 1,054 crore in this financial year, taking the DPU for FY25 at Rs. 19.25 per unit, which is an increase of 8.5% over the DPU in FY24. Valuation for Brookfield India REIT as of March 25 stand at 38,000 crore, which translates to an NAV of Rs. 336 per unit. As you are aware, our portfolio assets, where we own 100% stake, with G2, K1, N1, N2 and Festus, and assets where we have 50% ownership with G1, Kairos and North Commercial Portfolio. If we were to consider 50% share of the annualized NOI from 50% ownership assets and 100% share of annualized NOI from 100% ownership assets based on Q4 FY24 run rate, our total NOI run rate per annum comes to Rs. 1820 crore. We can expect a growth of 14% in our NOIs if we were to consider the full year NOI potential of areas currently contracted and assume a steady leasing recovery, that is lease up of existing 3 million square feet of vacant area at current market rents with a 2.5% vacancy allowance on the portfolio. This growth in NOI, along with the impact of reduction in repo rates of 25 bips in April 2025, will lead to an approximately 21% growth in distributions. This would translate to a distribution per unit on a stabilized basis of rupees 25 plus, without accounting for any impact on account of rent growth, contractual escalations, MTM, and any future changes in the interest rates. We continue to maintain a dual AAA rating from ICRA and CRISIL on the back of our strong balance sheet, a long-dated maturity profile, and limited amortizations over the next few years. As you are aware, RBI had reduced the repo rates in February and April. The impact of February rate reduction has happened in our consolidated portfolio, ex-NCP. The impact of rate reduction on NCP, that is 50 basis points repo rate reduction, and the impact of 25 basis point rate reduction, which happened in 9th April 2025, will start flowing in from the next quarter. A majority of our loans are linked to the repo rate, and we will be benefited as the benchmark rates begin to trend lower. With that, I would request the moderator to open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take a first question from the line of Puneet from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity. My first question is, what are you hearing from your tenants in terms of future leasing opportunities? Are they worried about what's happening in the globe? Any decisions on hold? Or are you still seeing, eagerness to close deals?
Yeah, let me take this question, Puneet. And of course, this is a pertinent question, but, I'm happy to say, at least we are not hearing any uncertainty or somebody saying, I want to wait and, wait for some more time to close the space. Tenants have seen that most of the institutional grade A properties, occupancies have moved to, around 90s. And this availability is getting a bit of a challenge. While space is available, but if you want contiguous space in one go, you want the space what you want, that's becoming a challenge. Landlords are not willing to wait very long for signing of leases, and tenants are aware of this phenomena. So we are not seeing any slowdown, and there is a urgency to close space. Except large deals, they will take their own time, So that's fine. But smaller deals, if tenants want it, they are closing. And today, landlords aren't willing to wait. A year back it was different. Today we are already at around 90%. Deal momentum is strong. So if you want a space, you want to close it fast, then you've got to close it, without a lot of delay.
That's helpful. Thank you so much. My second question is on the financials. If I look at your net debt number, that seems to have grown up by about 270 crores Q&Q, but CapEx has been closer to 107 crore. How should one read this gap?
Sorry, what's the question? What has
270? The net debt has grown by roughly 270 crores, but your capex for the quarter, this is Q&Q, but the capex for the quarter is 107 crores. How should one read this gap?
Which slide are you seeing, Puneet?
We are calculating this net debt number. Is the understanding correct that net debt changes 270 crores or is it a different number?
No, the net debt change should be much higher because the proceeds of the QIP were actually used in the last quarter. Some of it was used in December, but a lot of it was used in March. But Amit, you can add.
Net debt, not the gross debt. I know the gross debt has fallen quite a bit, but a net debt for the quarter end versus previous quarter?
Share
the net debt number, I think it will be...
I'm not sure which slide you are seeing, but whatever is the net debt, either it will be utilized for repayment
of... So what is the net debt number? Sorry, what is the net debt number for the quarter?
Net debt number for the quarter is, if you come to slide 21... There is a addition of bank debt of 47 crores if we add these three numbers, please. Okay. If at these three numbers.
So my understanding is there is a gross debt that you're saying that has 7,910 crores, and the cash on your books as per your balance sheet is 575 crores. So net debt should be 7,335 crores.
Okay, so you're talking about not the movement between the quarters, the total net debt number, right?
Yeah, total net debt number for this quarter and total net debt number versus last quarter. If you can share those two numbers and help me reconcile the balance.
So you're right. So at the consolidated level, the net debt number as of March 2025 is 8,000 crore, which is the debt at the REIT level, minus cash of 570. So you're right in saying that the net debt number is around 7,500. The similar number for the last quarter. Let me just quickly check that. Puneet, I would say that, net debt number for the previous quarter would have been 11,000 crore because the total debt at December 24 was 11,000
crore. That's gross debt, right?
Yeah, that's gross debt. And then, the cash balance would be in the similar range. The net debt movement between the two quarters should be in the range of around 3,000 crore to 3,500 crores. 3,000 crore has been utilized to repay the debt. And around 200-300 crores would have been utilized for capex purposes.
Okay. Maybe I'll take this separately. The other question is also if you can talk a bit about the fall in NOIs for Worldmark and Airtel Center on a Q-on-Q basis. What's happening there?
Just give us a second. Airtel Center, if there's expenses, otherwise there's nothing,
See, the NOI wouldn't have fallen, Puneet, because... So cash has gone down, distributions from NCP portfolio, because in the previous quarter, we had tax refunds, right, that got distributed to REIT. But in the current quarter, because there are no tax refund in the NCP portfolio, the distribution to REIT has gone down. I think you are looking
I'm just looking at the NOI, which was previous quarter was 90 crore. This is 86.3. Q3 and Q4 number, and similarly, Airtel Center 41 crore down to 35 crore for the quarter.
It could be family calculation.
Puneet, why don't we look at this and get back to you?
We'll get back.
From a business perspective, there's no change.
Okay.
Will continue to be in line, but why don't we just try to bring it back?
Okay. Lastly, if you can also
on the previous question, look, I think we invested about 150 crores of what we raised to purchase Maya. It has basically translated into an investment on the books in a way, because we used the part of it for that, and we actually 50 crores of cash that was sitting. As a part of our DESRA reserves with the lenders, as we repaid those loans, got released as a part of the NDCF this quarter. So that's about 200 crores of the 270 movement. Balance, I think we can come back to you separately.
Okay, that's fine. And similarly on the capex side as well, second quarter versus this quarter, the CWIP is 178 crores. And the last year, Q2 CWIP was 208 crore. Now it's 178 crores. So is there some new asset which you've capitalized in this quarter?
So Puneet, we the tenant improvements or certain upgrade capex on continuous basis. So until our project is completed, it is booked in CWIP, and once a particular project gets completed, it moves to the property, plant and equipment, or investment property.
Which asset is this?
This is across all the assets, because the tenant improvements and the asset upgrades is a continuous process, we continue to do these activities across all the assets.
Okay, that's great. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Pritesh Sheth from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. So just a couple of questions. First, on the leasing guidance, 1.5-2 million sq ft. How are you seeing this vacancy, I mean, occupancy improvement across our three core assets where there is a higher vacancy, G1, G2, and N2? So individually, if you can highlight on how you are seeing the traction. Obviously, I think this quarter, we saw a good improvement in N2. But if you can comment on all three assets combined and whether all of these new leasing that you are expecting is largely in these three assets or there are other assets which are contributing to this leasing.
I think good observation, good question. So let me just say our leasing guidance of 1.5 million-2 million sq ft. If you see our non-SEZ assets, occupancy is around 95%-96%, whereas SEZ occupancy overall is about 84%-85%. So our bulk of leasing next year is expected to in four assets, which is G1, G2, N2, and Powai. Now, let me take asset one by one. So not three, but four, actually. Powai momentum is strong. We have constantly and consistently done numbers, closed leases beyond our business plan numbers. So we remain confident. There's a traction, and we keep doing leases. We are confident about leasing in Powai. Let's come to G1. G1, if you see, occupancy has kind of dramatically moved up from bottom of 67% to almost now 80%. Our non-SEZ space also came up pretty early. And out of that non-SEZ space, we have been able to lease out 2 lakh sq ft in G1 as well. This is, I'm talking about non-SEZ. SEZ space momentum is continuing in parallel. So G1 traction momentum remains strong. We are very confident that we should be able to whatever targets for G1 are there, we should be able to meet them or kind of do them better. Then there's N2. Again, N2, while we have been able to denotify spaces, we have not seen any leasing in non-SEZ spaces last quarter. But SEZ space momentum remains strong. But we have strong pipeline even for non-SEZ spaces, and we are confident that we should be able to even in N2, we should be able to meet our leasing targets number with a combination of SEZ as well as non-SEZ space. Then we come to G2. Of course, G2 has been a laggard, but now we have some non-SEZ space as well. And while G2 will probably be a laggard as compared to G1 and N2, but there's a good pipeline. We are talking to a large tenant as well, and we are confident that in a few quarters, we should be able to get good leasing momentum in G2 as well. So this 1.5-2 million sq ft should more or less would come from these four assets. And then we'll push our remaining assets to get whatever 95%, we can move to 97%-98% or even higher. That will be our efforts.
Sure. So considering our leasing guidance and some of the renewals might also get expired, so we right now have 3 lakh sq ft, 3 million sq ft vacant. Net-net, what kind of occupancy target we should be looking at? 93-odd% should be a good number next year?
Yeah, fair point. Fair point. So I think between early 90s to mid-90s is something what we expect next year. Now it becomes 93% or 94%. That's probably just too early, but I think around 92%-94% is something we are targeting, or we can, I don't know if we can exceed that, but that's for next year. And then if everything goes well, probably next to next year, we can cross 95%.
Got it. And from DPU perspective, is this 5.25 now a base number that we should be eyeing for every quarter? And then probably better leasing will lead to further growth on that from 2027 onwards?
Let me take that request, Amit, to answer.
Yeah. So at least for the next one or two quarters, we would maintain a similar kind of a distribution of 5.25. And once this leasing pans out, maybe we should be in a position to give a guidance maybe in the next quarter. But for the next one or two quarters, 5.25 should be the minimum distribution that we would be targeting.
Got it. And just one last, you know, we have mentioned about Bangalore portfolio, you know, which you have already started evaluating from sponsors. You know, any thoughts on what is the structure considering, you know, our stock is still trading at 15% discount to NAV? You know, I mean, I know, understand it's too early, but are the sponsors okay to, you know, do a share swap? You know, if that's if valuation discount continues where it is, or you know, they would want to, you know, cash out whenever this happens.
Yeah, so look, the structure is still pretty much under evaluation. We can do various sizes of deals. Some deals are now capable of being financed with the money we have already raised. So if you ask me, I think where we trade doesn't matter. The fact that we already have the money, we need to put it to work to strong total returns. So I would say that, you know, about 3,500 crores of dry powder is pretty much ready to be deployed and should be deployed in cash. If the size of the deal is larger than that, then that's a structure that is still under discussion, evaluation. If the size of the deal increases, we may buy more assets beyond just the largest one. But again, I mean, still on the whiteboard on this one, but we'll come back with more details.
Got it. Thanks. That's all from my side, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Pradyumna Choudhary from JM Financial Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So, my question is more related to sectoral wise, what sort of demand or softness are we seeing? Like, especially if we talk about the tech sector, are we seeing any sort of slowdown there? Because, if you look at commentary by a lot of these larger IT names, the hiring has slowed down. Some of it is to do with overall weakness in the sector, some of it is to do with the way tech is now disrupting the entire sector. So if you could give some commentary regarding that, in the near term, as well as how you see the impact over the medium term.
Yeah. So, Pradyumna, I think we have been talking about uncertainty. We have been living in state of uncertainty from last 4 years. But, honestly speaking, at least today, things are far, far better than what we have seen. You know, at least last 1 year has been good, and today also it's good, than what we have seen, you know, during COVID times. Slowdown, I agree, there's a lot of slowdown, but, you know, back to office momentum is always gaining ground. Space availability has gone down, and even for new contracts, generally companies are, most of the companies have announced, you know, like full time back to office, not 3 days, not 4 days, 5 days. So, at least we are not seeing any slowdown. You know, a lot of talk, but we're not seeing any slowdown. Companies continue to take space, and companies cater, you know, take space to cater for the growth in next 1 or 2 years. Now, if whatever slow hiring will slow down, the rate of hiring has come down. But that, you know, companies are already, they have shed their lot of real estate portfolio. So today, whatever hiring they have to do, they have to take more space. And of course, if the slowdown is not there, probably instead of 88-89%, probably it would have been at 95%. But of whatever uncertainty and the global uncertainty, I think we are at late 80s or early 90s. I think if a flip comes, probably our, you know, and not us, any institutional landlord, the occupancies could move much higher. But overall demand is good. We are confident. Tenants are not delaying their take-up. They know if they want a space, they have to close up, they have to close. So things are pretty good.
No, fair enough, but like my question is more from a medium-term perspective. Like, of course, in the nearer term, the back to office and limited space availability are resulting in still a good demand environment. But once this comes into the base, once things fully normalize, which I believe is now anyway happening, right, in terms of back to office, most of the organizations have already started that. So over maybe a 2 year window, once these demand drivers are no longer there and GenAI, everyone has been reading there will be job losses, right? So then how do we expect things to turn out is what I'm trying to understand. Its impact on different sectors, of course, tech would be the one most disrupted, but even, for example, would GCCs also be impacted as per your understanding?
Now let's look at GCCs and let me talk about GCCs first. Today, only 30% of the companies have GCCs in India. Out of 100 companies, only 30% have GCCs in India. So not only these 30% who have presence in India will grow, but also we'll keep attracting at least 100 GCCs per annum, you know, in India. So please understand, new GCC will come, existing GCC will kind of expand. Tech companies, I don't think with AI, and this is a constant debate, I don't think with AI, on a gross level, we are going to see, of course, the entry-level jobs will come down, they may come down, but new job sectors will be created. The rate of growth of hiring is going to go down. That is, we have interacted with many companies, and what we are getting is the rate, the growth will be there in terms of manpower. The rate may come down, but jobs in new different segments may get created. And so this is one. And today, again, you know, also we are seeing, and there are early shoots that some of the manufacturing companies, they are looking at our non-ECG spaces, which was, you know, unheard of. So somewhere, I think we'll get compensated. We'll be already at, by next year, we'll be already at somewhere 92-93%. Very sweet spot to increase our rentals, to push our NOI, to get larger tenants. So we are very, very positive and gung-ho on commercial real estate sector short to medium term.
Understood, that's fair. And one question was on the like how you give a sectoral wise split of tenants by gross contracted rentals. Similarly, what's the split between your front office tenants versus mid or back office tenants?
So we can get back on the split in terms of revenue, but most of our IT campuses would not go for front office. They will go for GCCs, they will go for IT companies, they will go for BFSI. But front office is something which, what would be 80-20, I think. It could be around 80-20. We'll share this number with you. But 80-20, 20 office. 20 is a front office, balance would be. And I'm saying, I'm not taking GCCs in front office. Front office means real front office.
Understood. Fine. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we'd like to remind participants, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. The next question is from the line of Parvez Qazi from Nuvama Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and thanks for taking my question. So, two questions from my side. First, we've seen about 15% same-store NOI growth in FY25. So, can you give a broad split between what portion of it would have come from occupancy improvement, rent escalation, and cost savings, etc.?
Parvez, sorry to interrupt. Can you mute your line, please? There's background noise on your line. Thank you.
So, should we answer this question first, or you want to raise the second question as well?
So, the second question is, hello?
Yeah, please go ahead.
How much SEZ conversion have we done till date and how much of that has been already? Thank you.
Would you like to answer
both
questions?
So, on the 15% NOI growth compared to the FY 2024 NOI versus Q4 FY2024 versus Q4 FY2025. Roughly 7% has been on account of occupancy growth, 3-4% on account of MTM, and roughly a 4% on account of the escalation that has kind of come in our portfolio. So that's a broad breakup of the 15% NOI growth. Coming to the question on NPA conversion, we have a total NPA area of roughly 2 million square feet across our portfolio, out of which we have already converted 1.5 million square feet. And we are in the process of getting another 0.5 million square feet getting converted. So that's a broad stack of the NPA conversions.
How do you lease?
So out of the 1.5 million square feet which has been already converted, 0.8 million square feet is currently leased, and then we have a very healthy pipeline for the remaining NPA area that we have across our property.
So 0.6 got leased in Calcutta and 0.2 got leased in G1 Gurgaon, right?
Yeah.
Sure. Thanks and all the best. Sure.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Abhishek Khanna from Kotak Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I just wanted to check on two things. One, the NPM spreads that you've given in one of the slides, fairly low, 9 to 2-3% for, let's say, 27, 28. What you've generally seen is that you tend to do better spreads. Is that how it should likely be in the year ahead also? Is this generally based on industry estimates, and you have an expectation that you will be able to do north of 10% at least in terms of the re-leasing spreads that you will achieve? I was referring to slide 16, which shows 9% for 26, 2% for 27, and 3% for 28 respectively.
No, I think that's a good observation, and that's something we also kind of think about. But these are the, you know, kind of projections of third party valuers. But just to give two examples, when we renewed Barclays in N1, which is again a large lease of 1.5 lakh square feet, we have been overall increase of almost about 60%. You know, the rent has gone up from, you know, almost 45 rupees to 72 rupees. So 60% increase we have achieved. We never projected that kind of a number. Again, Calcutta, if you recollect last year, we were, you know, market rents around 44, 45. You know, and it was very difficult to project for anybody to say that, you know, our rents could go 55 plus. But last year when we did new leasing, we crossed 55 plus. So these are numbers projected by third parties and we can't control them. But we are always confident, keep investing our assets, that we should be market leader and able to increase our rentals to the extent possible.
Sure, 10% is a reasonable expectation to have, maybe. Anything higher is a bonus, but
I think on average,
8 to 10 should be doable, right?
Yes, on average, yes.
Sure, that helps. Second, I just wanted to understand, what is the physical occupancy trading? How has it increased over the years for the portfolio and, let's say, for the IT tenants specifically speaking, if you have some numbers to share there?
Now physical occupancy is in now almost now mid 80s to it's in mid 80s somewhere, it's more also, but at least it's mid 80s there. I guess some companies, mm-hmm. they don't have, you know, they have only 3 days or 4 days, that's the issue, but otherwise on the working days it's in mid 80s.
And that would not be too different for the IT tenants as a whole?
This I'm talking about IT tenants. For non-IT, you have to be in office. I mean, all 5 days.
Got it. And the last one that I had, how do you see demand from flex players in across your portfolio? A lot of other REITs do specifically point out some of the top tenants being some of these flex players. How are you looking at that as a demand category specifically speaking? Is that increasing in your portfolio? Just some broad sense on that. I think you also have something within Brookfield, if I'm not mistaken, but just the broad sense.
Yeah, fair point. So, you know, our aim is to, you know, kind of be with tenants, capture them or whatever the demand they need. So we have our tech platform called Cowork, and whenever tenants want spaces, whenever tenants want,
just to kind of give you numbers, in our REIT portfolio, we have over 2.6 lakh square feet of co-working space. Some of them leased up by co-working place, some of them we have kind of provided on a management fee model basis. And in this 2.6 lakh odd square feet, we are having an occupancy of 95%. So there are the co-working space that we have in REIT is currently at a very good occupancy. And we are seeing some demand coming from the MOS, managed office space from tenants. an in-house player, we are able to kind of offer those kind of services to our tenants as well. So going forward, we see some traction on that side also in our portfolio, and we'll be able to kind of get more tenants under the managed office model in our portfolio.
Yeah, I mean, the idea is not let a tenant go. So whether they do want to do directly, they want to go through a flex player, we want to kind of get them into our portfolio and cater to their needs.
Sure, and this would be across geographies, I understand, no
yes.
specific part of the portfolio where you'll be seeing more demand from it, right? And I mean, NCR or Bombay for that matter.
Across geographies, you're right.
Okay, perfect. That is helpful. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Sarvesh Gupta from Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Sir, on slide 16, you have explained the MTM spread, which is not a big deal.
Can you use your handset mode, please?
Yeah. So, first question is on slide number 16. So, the MTM spread expectations are coming down. So, if you can explain that a little bit more, because I think we have mentioned like 14-15% as the
interest under the distribution of spread. So,
we just answered this question. You know, and I mean, just to kind of sum it up, this is third-party estimates. We expect to do much better.
Okay. And this 14-15% re-leasing spread that you have got is on an average what sort of tenure?
On the re-leasing, when we get 18% spreads, then what sort of tenure do we lock in these spreads for?
Yeah. These are nine-year tenures. In 9 year tenures, Mumbai could be some of them could be 5 years, but typically they are 9 year tenures.
Okay. So on an average, maybe 1-2% per year of releasing spreads you have also captured additionally.
The previous lease of 9 years, yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is correct. 1-2% per year.
Okay.
On top of the 5%.
Yeah, on top of the existing inflation. Yeah. And on the overall asset book, now we have a sizable, almost 40,000 odd crores of asset value. So, you know, what sort of pipeline do you see over the next 3 to 5 years, you know, where we can reach in terms of new asset as well as organic and inorganic acquisitions?
Yeah, so look, I'll just compare this to where this asset book used to be when we did the IPO of this company in 21. It was about 11,000 crores. Today we are managing about 38,000 crores. Every year, you can say that we have added on an average basis in our 4 years of ownership or post IPO ownership, we have added about 7,500 crore on an average to this portfolio, right? So you can expect a similar run rate as we move along. You know, probably better if we can raise more money in the REIT, but at least that much will be our endeavor. So in 3 years time, you can be looking at a 60,000 crore REIT.
On slide number 11, you have explained a pro forma sort of a DPU of 25.4. But you also mentioned that you will be, in the first half, you will be distributing around similar to Q4, which is 5.25. So, by when do you expect to achieve these sort of a stabilized numbers?
Yeah, so... you know, when you're talking about, you know, 25 kind of a number, I think it should take about 2 to 3 years. That's what we said next year, you know, achieving occupancy of, you know, a tad lower than mid-90s and then crossing mid-90s. So in the next 2 to 3 years, we should achieve these numbers.
But this year on the same sort of an occupancy increase, your DPU growth was much higher, right? You had a 600 basis point of occupancy increase, which led to a much higher DPU growth. So what are you projecting for the next year as a whole, and why on a higher sort of the increase we should not be getting that sort of a DPU growth that we saw this year?
So we grew 6% in occupancy last year and 10% in DPU terms. Again, you know, Alok mentioned earlier in his remarks that we will try to be somewhere in the 93-94 zip code. If we hit that number, that's again 6 percentage points growth. That should again lead to a 10% increase in DPU. That will be our expectation. So we have 12% vacancy in the portfolio. We managed to lease all of it. Then we should have a 20% growth in our DPU, which is what you see on the slide as well.
Understood. Great. Thanks a lot, Nitin, and all the best for the current quarters.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. The next question is from the line of Ankit Minoka from Adezi Ventures Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. So on the previous question only, you were talking about this 25 rupees DPU sometime in the future. Now, assuming this is at peak occupancy, like you mentioned, what is the peak occupancy that you've seen in the past? I mean, earlier, whenever you've seen kind of peak occupancy, has it gone up to, what levels has it usually gone up to?
I think we have to talk asset-wise. I think not fair to comment on a portfolio basis, but asset-wise, in most of the assets, we have, even portfolio basis, our peak occupancy was 96% in 17, and then in 20, it was 96%, 2020. But asset-wise, we have gone to 98, 100% as well.
Yeah, look, each of these assets in the past has seen a 99 to 100% at some point in the past. Just because the way these have been built, these are large-scale IT parks, rectangular flow plates, highly efficient. Many tenants sometimes want full building solutions, so there's no structural vacancy. And as Alok said, each of these assets have had a period where they have touched 99 to 100 in the past. So everything goes very heavily in favor of demand. We can touch those numbers, but I think we are setting ourselves for a target of 97 to 98.
Yeah. Just one thing, when we achieved 96% in 2020, we had development in G1, which is Gurgaon. We had development in N2, which is Noida. We had development in N1, which is again Noida. So now we have a development in Calcutta. There is no development. So, also keep in mind that this 96% achieved was considering almost 2.5 to 3 million square foot development happening at that point of time, and the vacancy was in large part in under development or under construction buildings. Now with no development or very limited development in this portfolio, we are confident, and let's see. I think let's see how does it pan out, but we are confident of achieving high 90s.
And if I look at the current reasons where this number would kind of being pulled down, I think if I'm correct, G2 would be one aspect of it, and so could you just outline in which are the kind of the assets which currently have lower occupancy figures, and what are the reasons for that, and what could be the potential triggers for that number to improve?
So we discussed this question in detail, but let me just sum it up again. If you see, we have four assets which we are expecting bulk of occupancy or leasing to happen. Of course, G1, G2, N2, and Powai. We have talked about asset wise in detail. G1 again very strong momentum. We have done 2 lakh square feet of a non-SEG leasing as well. So G1 and very good pipeline. N2 the pipeline is good. While we have not been able to close non-SEG last quarter, but we remain confident, pipeline is strong, should close. Again, Powai momentum is strong. We have been constantly closing leasing space at much higher than the projected number. Yes, G2 is a laggard, but we have pipeline. Even we are talking to a very large occupier. If that materializes, G2 could be sorted. But otherwise, even a non-SEG space is now available to lease. For that itself, we have a good pipeline. So G2Y remains a laggard, but it should achieve our predicted numbers in terms of occupancy.
And just a data point to add to what Alok said, look, if you just, this information is on slide 34 of our presentation, right? If you just see what we did last year, just between G1, G2, N2, we were able to add 1 million square feet of new leasing between these three assets. Today, as we stand, these three assets put together have about 2.5 million square feet of vacancy. So if we just did what we did last year, that million square feet itself can add, in terms of occupancy, almost about 4 percentage points in a single sort of year for us.
and that would be our endeavor. Of course, G2 can be slightly slower than the other two, but even last year, you would see G1 and N2 both did about 400 to 500,000 square feet each, just in terms of new leasing.
Right. Thanks for that. And considering we are already in Q1 of 26, I mean, are you guiding for DPU for FY26 for the total year?
We mentioned earlier, you know, currently we are not giving a guidance as such for the full year. What we are saying is that for the next one or two quarters, we would continue at the similar DPU of 5.25, and maybe we'll come back with the guidance, you know, in our next call. Once we see the momentum of leasing in the current quarter.
Right. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone.
So if there are no questions, we can conclude the call.
Sure, sir. Please go ahead. There are no questions.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, for joining today's call. We look forward to connecting with all of you next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Brookfield India Real Estate Trust, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.